for the creation, and now he's changing and he's giving you an analogy. The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation he's talking about. He's talking about everything, the whole rock and everything in it. I don't know if you have Facebook or if you use the internet, but you get these ads once in a while and they talk about Gaia, right? Which is a false idea. It's a deification of the earth as an organic unit that is a being and has a thing, okay? So that's a little bit kooky extreme. Mother Earth, right? A little bit meh, okay. But Paul and the scripture says the creation, the whole ball of wax, is groaning. It waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And then look at this in verse 20. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Did you know that the world didn't used to be in futility? It was subjected to futility. We talk about the curse. We talk about Adam. Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam, and now you will sweat of your brow and toil. It didn't always used to be that way. And that doesn't make room for the billions and billions of years of living and dying and living and dying and living and dying until finally humans recently. The scripture doesn't make room for that. So here's Paul talking about his understanding of creation and God's creation story, which is not a myth. The book of Genesis is not a myth. And Paul traffics in that. And this is New Testament. And so you believe Jesus rose from the dead. You believe that Paul is his apostle. You believe scripture's inspired. Here's what New Testament says. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So the earth is bound to the plight of men. And when Adam and Eve fell, they broke the system, and everything's been messed up since. And we look at our messed up relational lives and we think, oh. And you look at the world, and when I read groaning, I, you know, it's like earthquakes, oh, tsunamis, oh, hurricanes, famine, storms, roof tiles, groaning. Nobody doesn't accept the idea that, man, it's pitching and heaving. And now you got a cool, fashionable term. It's called climate change. Humans are messing it up. Humans are messing it up. Humans are messing it up. Say the godless, Gaia-worshipping comrades who would like socialism in the name of an earthly common. You wouldn't say comrade for the sake of the state and Vladimir with the beard is leading us all. You wouldn't say, yes, Stalin had it right, let's all follow him. But you would maybe say, for the sake of the earth, brother, we've got to pitch in. Nobody too high, nobody too low. Let's all be together. And there is this pitch, in the world that tells you that this is what we all need to do and that man is doing it. And in that, they do agree with the scripture. But if you come to the same people and say the scripture says that because of man, the earth lies in futility, will you be accepted? If you come to the people who are saying, save the earth, save the earth, save the earth, and say, God says that the earth is waiting for the return of Jesus Christ and for people to turn from their sin and follow, will those people accept you? Well, if you suffer with him because you're heirs of Christ, you'll have borne witness to the fact that the scripture does say this. I got a little excited there for a second. And it's because there's so much the environmental stuff I actually care about. You know, recycling is a great idea. And less pollution out of those smokestacks is a great idea. And if only all the houses, the eastern side of all the houses in Menstrie, weren't covered with black mold that grows from the yeast that comes out of Kerry, that would be great. Less pollution. Really good idea. Who wants broken glass in the park? Recycle it. These are fantastic ideas. But they're mostly pitched with a godless commitment to an earthly common that doesn't make room for God who made it and my Savior who is going to redeem it. And you're reading about that in Scripture. So be an environmentalist because you're a steward of God's creation that you'll take care of. And the weather is changing, but it's weather. We haven't lost winter, spring, summer, fall yet. It continues as God promised. And there's a little girl, 16 years old, crying that the earth is going to die in 11 years. You're bad, grown-ups. Look at my tears. And those people raise that child to be afraid and despairing. Now, if you raise your child to be afraid and despairing that Jesus was coming back and their friends weren't saved, how long before they called social services on you? With your kid crying because we're going to die. But if you do it for the earth, oh, please testify before Congress, child. Because it's the accepted, it's the social Darwinist, it is the communist socialist thing coming in for the good of the earth, comrade. Now, that's a bit political, and that's opinionated, and the minister, he maybe should have just drank one less cup of tea this morning, okay? There's room for that. There's room for that. You're getting yourself excited, pal. Take a breath. But the point is, and the important point is, that the Scripture does speak about this. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's it. Now, this is either just nice feeling words or the Spirit of God telling you, here's how you worship Jesus as you walk in the world. We know, verse 22, that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only